started this series to try to learn more about the tremendous changes that are going on these days for both publishers and libraries. We all know what costs this upheaval. It's technology. Until fairly recently, we didn't have iPhones, and we didn't have e-books or Kindles and audiobooks making book reading available every 24 hours. Available 24 hours every single day. We didn't have social media taking up so much of our time, or Netflix and its competitors bombarding us with easily accessible entertainment. And most of all, we didn't have Amazon. So, we feel particularly lucky tonight to have one of the bright stars, and that's a quote, in the publishing business to tell us about the impact that all of these new ways of communicating are having on both libraries and in the book publishing business. Jonathan Galassi is a published poet, Morning Run and North Street, a novelist, Muse, which you can purchase right after that talk. He's an eminent translator of Italian poetry, as well as a brilliant editor. He studied English at Harvard with instructors including Robert Lowell and Elizabeth Bishop. After Harvard, he became a Marshall Scholar at Cambridge, and that's when he figured out that he wanted to be in the book publishing business. And what a career that has been. Farrar Straus, for 32 years, has been Jonathan's place of employment. They have published 20 Nobel laureates and 7 Pulitzer Prize winning authors, including Flannery O'Connor, Isaac Singer, Susan Sontag, Thomas Wolfe, Joan Didion, Seamus Heaney, and John McPhee. In my opinion, Jonathan is the smartest, kindest, most gifted editor-publisher of the last 40 years. But don't just take it from me. Here's what a couple of other people have said about Jonathan. And I quote, Galassi is the preeminent literary editor in this country. He's been doing it better and longer than anyone. That was said by Alan Peacock, an editor poet. And again, I quote, Galassi is the best editor in America, said Roger Straus, co-founder of FSG. He has got great taste, a wide canvas of interest, and a concentration level which is utterly astounding. Jonathan himself acknowledges that the publishing industry, quote, has changed more in the last 2 decades than in the previous 200 years. He said that in an article in the Harvard Magazine in 1997. So, let's see what he thinks now. Please welcome Jonathan Galassi. Still at two parks.
Remember those little pieces of
correcting paper.
Correcting paper that you, yes, that you made a mess with, that your letters never looked good. In fact, what my first really great experience there was, I was hired as a kind of editorial intern, and I was really looking to get that job. And I was asked, as a young whippersnapper, to read a manuscript that had already been acquired by us, which was the second novel by Robert Stone, who's a very considerable novelist. And it was called Dog Soldiers. And I read this manuscript and I was blown away by how wonderful it was, how flawless it was, and how beautifully typed it was. There was not one error. There was no whiteout. There were no corrections on the pages. And I thought, oh, this is publishing. It's pristine. It's high class. It's great literature. But I loved the interaction with the author primarily. That was the thing that most excited me. The appreciating their work, working with them to make it even better. And that actually has been the thing that has most meant the most to me all through my work. I found it very hard to reject people at first. I found it very, very difficult to write letters that I knew would be hurtful to someone, until it occurred to me that I hadn't asked them to send me things. And that made it a lot easier. But I remember one day a man came into the lobby and I was sent down to receive whatever it was he was offered, and he wanted to recite his poems to me in the lobby, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. And he was very offended, and he said, nothing bad is going to happen to me. And so we walked away from each other. But that was the old days. I don't know if you call them the old days or not, but the old days. There was an elevator lady who had white gloves who would take us up and down in the elevator. And it was really, really an ancient history. And this was Boston. Boston was still a cultural center. It wasn't the Athens of America anymore, but there were five or six publishing houses there. And New York was considered very questionable, a little bit louche, and options have expanded, but their time has not, and that's our problem. He says, we haven't been very good at developing stories that reflect the cultural diversity that increasingly has characterized our society. We need to relate to an international world. Our literature still primarily focuses on white middle-class men. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
We're going through the very same things. Product supply from the cultural industry has exploded as a consequence. Competition is fierce. In addition, both digitization and large international stakeholders' movements have definitely wiped away the last touch of the sheltered workshop ambience that I described earlier. Publishing today is about life and death. But then again, hasn't it always been? I think we'll continue to be here, recognizable, but completely transformed. So that transformation is what we hear about today, what we live through. And I would say that publishing, trade publishing right now is, I would say, static as a business. Our particular business is growing, but I don't think that's true of our industry as a whole. But the connection to the reader is still fundamental, and I know you all read. You need books. Books are going to be written because people need to express themselves. And it's up to us to make sure that people want to read them. So I think that I'd rather have this be a dialogue. So please, if you have comments, Alex.
Do you publish to hit a reader where they are, or a reader where you want them to be?
Bob Gottlieb, who is one of the great publishers of the last 25, 30, 40 years, said there are two ways of being a publisher. You can either lead or follow. You can either give people what you think they want or what you think they're going to want or should want. And that's a risky thing. It's risky both ways, because if you give them what they wanted last year, they do not want it again. And that's mm-hmm. often true in publishing. We always say, the editors always say, salespeople want what they've already sold successfully. Whereas what the public really wants is something new. And you have to balance those things.
I'm just curious, do you think audiobooks have expanded the universe of readers, or is it just still taking another form of books?
Well, audiobooks are the biggest growth part of our business at the moment. And I think that reflects the way they're being used. People will listen to them in their car, and they can sync them so that they continue listening in the house while they do whatever they're doing. But they are, I don't know if, I mean, that we could have a discussion about whether listening to an audiobook is the same as reading, because it's not really, it's something else. It's consuming a book in a different way, but it's not, there's something about the reading process where you're applying your, where you set the speed and you can go back more of it, where you take it in your own way that is different. But audiobooks, listen, I'll take them. They're growing fast, and their engagement with writing, so they're often good. But I'm not sure how to answer your question, but it's something ancillary.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned books being able to provide an experience that you can't get from other medium. But one of the books I'm reading right now that FSG brought out really does that. It's called The Third Hotel by The Third Hotel by Laura Vanderburg.
Oh, yes.
There's a sense of the mood and the atmosphere that you get from that. You can't get it from a film or from anything else. And one of the interesting things it does is have, I guess, what sometimes termed a crossover, because it's a literary horror story and it blends elements of different genres. And I was wondering if you see that as one of the trends where you might see demand and interest, because you have well-established forms and conventions in different genres, but if you blend them together, you can provide an even more satisfying experience that can start competing with, say, peak TV and some of the things you've been seeing in other mediums.
I think you're right that a lot of the new fiction today makes use of genre that we thought of as strictly commercial in very inventive ways. And, you know, I'm the age I am. I'm almost 70, so I'm not grow with the younger reader the way my younger colleagues are. So, and that's why, in fact, I just made Mitzi Angel the publisher of MSG, because she's going to bring us new readers, new writers who are going to work in just the way that you're talking. But I do think that the new reader today is much less interested in the old formats, the old received notions of literature. It's much more interested in being entertained in different ways.
Thank you.
Yes. What effect does Amazon have on the economic of publishing, specifically those newer and quality writers that there isn't a huge audience initially for?
Well, you know, the fact is bookstores have a less, their role in the publishing universe, the ecology of publishing, is less vital than it used to be. There are fewer bookstores, as you've noticed. And they don't always have what you need, so Amazon does have almost everything, really. So that the showcase factor that bookstores were the place you went to connect to take a look at, to sniff new things, is something that Amazon can't really offer you. They try, they have to look inside the book, but it's not quite the same as the actual physical connection. So I'd say the answer is double. They have the books, but I find that Amazon is better for ordering books if you already know what you want. Discoverability is our big issue, especially with new things. We haven't really solved that problem. Yes?
Do you find that libraries are a place where people go to discover new books?
I mean, one of the things that bothers me about libraries today is that the populist factor in libraries, where when in the old days libraries used to do just what they used to do what they give you what they thought you should have, but now they're giving you what they know you want, largely. Bestsellers are more important in libraries than they used to be. So, but still, libraries are a place where you are with books, and they're all important. John, would you like to say something about that? This is John Sargent. Steps up.
Welcome. This is John Sargent, who is the head
He's my boss.
Of And we're very lucky to have him here tonight. It would be great if you wouldn't mind answering a few questions.
He's done a lot of work on libraries, so
libraries form an enormously valuable function in the fabric of American reading and are the key place where people who don't have access to books, who are in the lower income strata, or who may not be in the literary world or in a cultured environment, this is where they can find books and afford to actually begin to read. There's also a huge community aspect now to libraries. It's much more powerful than it used to be, which is it's a place for people who believe in books and read in reading to gather. So they form a lot of good good functionality for our society. The main issue we have with libraries now is that they actually compete directly in the electronic book form. They compete directly with retailers. So you can order on your New York Public Library app, you can order a book as easily as you can on Amazon if you are a Kindle reader, and the author doesn't get paid for that. So we do have a moment in time where libraries and publishers are again entering an area of difficulty. You'll see, you read in the newspapers that ebook sales are going down. What they don't say in the newspapers is reading of ebooks and libraries is going up at the same pace it's going down, and the author doesn't share in that at the same level. So this is the current issue between libraries. There has always been love-hate relationship between publishers and authors and libraries. You say that, you talk to authors and they say, oh, I love libraries, they're fantastic. And then you get them behind closed doors and you say, what do you really think about libraries? I don't make any money when people read my book, right? So there is this historic thing, which continues to that.
There are some other cultures where authors are compensated There are exceptions that break through and then have you, like 50 Shades of Grey was a self-published book that became huge and international. But certainly they're taking a lot of people's money. So but and it's huge. I don't even know how huge it is, but and Amabella doesn't
question is, what is the best path to publish at a house like yours for someone who has published their own book?
The best path?
Yeah, to take. For you to actually get to look at it.
Send it to me. I think publishers are more accessible today because of the internet and all. It's easier to reach them. And I think that, you know, it's, some people say it's harder to get an agent than it is to get a publisher. Mm-hmm. But I think just the direct approach is probably the most, someone will need your book.
I can give you a word of advice, and that is we are very active in scanning the platforms like Amazon,
mm-hmm.
finding the books that have lots of 4-star reviews, lots of people reviewing them,
yeah.
and we actually reach out and ask people if they want a publishing contract
mm-hmm.
when we find those, and we actually scrape the sites to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way if you're self-published is get a lot of positive reviews on your site. That's the most likely way to attract a publisher to call you. And if you want a proactive approach, you want someone to actually call you, agents do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So agents are out there scouting all the time for self-published sites, looking for those books that are good enough.
Are you mostly doing that on Amazon?
The majority of the data that we have scraped is on Amazon because it's the easiest and most well-organized data. And it is by far and away the most. There's more activity on Amazon than anywhere else. But we do scrape some of the other sites, but it's nowhere near the amount of data.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In my life, the book is so much better value than any of the ones I find. I'm going to read this book for 100 hours, and it's the price there's some sort of structural reason why books are in the house that are cheap. Is there any light in that comment?
I don't think there's been a change in book prices for 20 years. You know, it's, I think the publishers are afraid they'll drive you away.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the multiple formats now, I think there's an argument hardcover format, which is perhaps what you post up,
yeah.
can be more expensive, and sometimes it is more expensive. And I think it needs to be better quality too, because people, if you want to read the book immediately, you can read it as an e-book and not have to worry about where to put it. But if you want to keep this book, it needs to be something, it needs to be an object that you want in your house. I think that there are a lot of us who feel that books as things need to be more objet than object.
You know that John Van Dole memoir on Dustin?
Yes.
I don't know if it was yours, but
no,
but it was a beautiful piece of work, and I thought it was just incredible. It's a good one.
Well.
But did the millennials believe the same thing?
You know, millennials love books, but they love paperbacks more. They don't particularly like e-books in my experience. They like paperbacks. And the paperback is down, but not out. It used to be the most popular format. It's one of many, but it's still a very viable and exciting way of publishing. Yes.
I was heartened to hear you say that the best part of publishing is the relationship with the author. And I'd love to hear you describe a little more about what that relationship is like today Because specifically, what I've heard, which I'm hoping you will debunk, is that the big houses they've gone away from the interesting and novel, that they have their formulas they're looking for, and they want their blockbusters, and they have, you know, minimum word counts or don't bother me, and I think more importantly, that there aren't editors anymore at the big houses who edit, that they primarily do financial analyses of how much promotion might need to go into the book, and primarily through an agent, the publishers are looking for fully edited books ready to go, where there will be no investment on that side. And it may all be true and it may all make sense, but I would love to hear your perspective.
How often do you think that kind of book shows up? I think that, I have a lot of friends in the business who are very educated and gifted editors and who are looking for something that excites them, that they can believe in, that they can work on, that they can form a relationship with the author. I really, and that goes across the board with publishing. I'm sure that there are, big companies need product to keep their machines running. That's all true, but there's always the product has to be developed. It has to be made as good as it can be. And I just don't. I want to stick up for editors because I think that they're really devoted and gifted. And I know editors in their 30s who are just like that, who just are doing what we do. I think it's still the core of what we do. So.
I noticed in my research about you that I think it's another article in the Harvard magazine, you said something that I found just delightful as an editor myself. I've always thought, you had to read at least the first chapter. But you said you could tell in 2 pages whether the book was going to work or not. I think it's really important for writers to know that. And those first 2 pages matter like crazy.
Well, I think I would say that I can tell very fast if something isn't
right
for me.
Okay.
And then I keep going and it, doesn't.
It gets more right.
Yeah. But I think that my experience, the thing that I find true about reading the book is, the farther you go, the more you like it, the more tense you get, because the more frightened you are that it's not going to end. and that's a very evolving experience. And very, I remember when I was reading Presumed Innocent, I said to someone, if the judge did it, I can't publish the book. But I think I can tell right away if it's not something that is working for me.
For you.
Yeah.
Right. But it is important, I think, for writers to understand that they have to do their very best work at the beginning, or they're going to not include it really enough, and if it's clumsy at the outset, you're going to have a lot of
There are lots of times where the editor will say, well, Well, people do them different ways. So some people spend a huge amount of time on the marketing. My own feeling is what you really want is an argument that's convincing and a sample and page and you know, chapter or pages that show how you're going to do it.
Could you just elaborate a little on who the new readers are and what's going to happen when the old readers disappear?
Well, you know, the new readers are the people who are younger than us. They have had a different life experience, different political education, different cultural experiences. They've had us as parents, whereas we have them as parents. Their life is different, and what they want, and their expectations, their worries, their concerns are different, and they don't have the same common culture we do. They have something else. Mm-hmm. So,
but they don't seem to read as much.
Well, that's partly because they have so many other. They have these things. They spend so much time on them. Sometimes they read on them. They read books on their phones, you know, which I don't do that, but other people I know do. And so that, I don't know, I'm not trying to be facetious. I just think that, you know, the readers that we have been are very different from our parents as readers. It's the same thing. It's just, it's natural. It's an actuarial act.
New readers require shorter books, and therefore publishers are looking for shorter books than before.
I think people like shorter books today. I don't know if it's those readers or us, but you know, people's attention spans are challenged. Articles are shorter in magazines, newspapers, everything, because it's on to the next thing. So I think short books are intriguing, actually. And,
do you think that these newer readers are going to take the time to read the 19th century novels and the 18th century novels? Or they're going to be much more likely to pick up some short?
We'll see. I think they will, because I think eventually people discover that, as Francis said, Solitude. And we need solitude.
stage, either for a proposal or a manuscript, are they, if your firm, sent in print or email?
Either one. It's a matter of, we do everything.